As Derek read for us this morning, the biblical account of the Apostle Paul as he was in Philippi. And I'd like to tell you a little bit this morning as we get started, a little bit about what's been going on here. The Apostle Paul had began his second missionary journey. And the first star you see on your right, that is Antioch, and he's traveling over to Philippi, and that's where our lesson is going to be from today. And as he goes along the way here, he took Silas with him, and he went throughout Syria and Cilicia and strengthening the churches there. And then Timothy joins them, and they continue on through Phrygia and the Galatian regions, but the Spirit did not allow them to go into Asia and preach the Word. So they went to Mysia, and they're trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit again did not permit them this time to go into the regions north of that. And Paul, as they came to Troas, had a vision, and sometimes we call this the Macedonian call. And in the vision, a man there is appealing to him to come over and to help them. And so he does that. They get on a boat, and they go over to Philippi. Now, in Philippi, you'll remember, as the story goes, there was Lydia and her household there. She and some others had gone out to pray, and the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to them that day. She and her household were baptized. Then as we get into Acts chapter 16 and about verse 16, the Apostle Paul was arrested and he was thrown into prison. There was a slave girl there who had the spirit of divination and met them there, and she was crying out, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued to do this day after day. And Paul became annoyed by all of this and turned around and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And that spirit came out of her that very moment. Well, her master, who had been making all of this money from her, was very upset by this. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities and accused them of doing this thing, saying, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, bringing Jews, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." And the crowd rose up together, and they were against Paul and against Silas. And the chief magistrate tore his robes off and began to beat them with rods. And they struck them with many blows and threw them into the prison. And there the jailer was commanded to keep them securely. Their feet were fastened into stocks. Now here is a photograph of what is the traditional place, the prison there Paul and Silas were in, as it was about midnight, and they were praying there. And you could see that it would be very dark there. This would probably be the inner prison, and you would not be able to see. And so when the earthquake came and the doors came open, and Paul told the jailer not to harm himself, that he called for a light to be brought in. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Acts chapter 16, and I want to pick up where Derek left off. And I want to begin reading in verse 30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And certainly this is a question maybe all of us have asked from time to time. What must we do to be saved? Now, I want you to notice the answer in verse 31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And you remember, as the story goes, they did believe. We'll ask the question in just a moment. What does it mean to believe? They did believe. And that very hour of the night, immediately, Paul took the jailer out and baptized him. And this again in Philippi is a traditional spot, or one of the spots where if you go there, you're shown that the jailer may have been baptized. Well, what does it mean to believe on the Lord? Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In this lesson, we consider the fact that the jailer was baptized immediately in the middle of the night. And we know that it's after midnight as we read through the story. And we perhaps wonder why, being after midnight sometimes, perhaps being 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you think about what it's like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Think about if you don't have any electricity for lights and you're trying to make your way out somewhere to be baptized. And the question would be asked, why is it that the jailer was baptized in the middle of the night? John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. He believed. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus? John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 28. Therefore they said to him, this is the Jews questioning Jesus, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Now here the Jews were expecting Jesus to give them some answer to say, what do I have to do these works? Perhaps they were wanting to know, what are these works? We want to do the works of God. And they were questioning Jesus. But Jesus gives them a rather odd and an unusual answer, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that you believe. And someone may say, goodness gracious, what do you mean? Do the works of God. You know, here were the Jews, and they were asking, wanting to know about doing all of these things. And the Jewish religion was very complex in all of the things they had to do, in all of the laws they had to do, and all of the sacrifices that had to be made, in all of the feasts that had to be kept, in all of the Sabbaths and the Sabbath regulations. And Jesus gives them a very simple answer, and He says, believe. Now, we may find that to be strange or unusual, but we need to investigate further this word, believe. Now, the young people here that going through their English classes, we could ask them, what type of word is the word believe? And every one of them would probably say that it is a verb. And a verb is an action word. A verb means that you have to do something. It means that it takes work. It means it takes energy. It is a work. Believing is a work. The Jews, what do I have to do to work the works of God? And Jesus says, believe. Believe is a work. It takes energy. You have to do something. And you know, there are some folks today who tell us, oh, you don't need to do anything. You're not saved by works, and in a sense we're not, by the sense the Bible talks about it. They say all you have to do is believe. Well, to say all you have to do is believe is to say, well, you have to work. The Jews wanted to do the works of God, and Jesus said, believe. Believe is a verb. Believe requires action. And one who believes, fully persuaded, we'll see this in just a moment, fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, will obey Him. I tried to find a secular illustration of this, and I really hunted for some time. I hunted for at least a couple of hours, and finally resorted to Google and searched the news stories on Google to find an example of this, and I think it's a pretty good one. I found an article called No Arms, No Legs, No Handicaps. This is an article about a fellow who had no arms, no legs from birth, but he did not believe he had a handicap. And because of that, he was able to do and is able to do some very incredible things. When he was in school, his name, by the way, is Brett Eastburn. When he was in school, he played baseball, football, and basketball. He became an accomplished swimmer and wrestler. He placed fourth in the nation in 1988, the Amateur Athletic Union Competition. He was a green belt in martial arts and a nationally recognized artist, and he had no arms and no legs. And he's a motivational speaker. And his message is this. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. You can do what you believe you can do. If you have no arms and legs and you want to play football, you can do it. Some of us who have arms and legs wonder if we could do it. He believed he could do it. And he went out and he did it. He believed that the only person who was handicapped was the person who didn't believe he could do it. That was the handicapped person. Because if they believed they couldn't do it, they would never try. And so this is what it means to believe. To be firmly persuaded. What is the noun form of the word believe? It is faith. What is faith? Faith is to believe in Jesus Christ. And because we believe, we're persuaded that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what He has said is the Word of God, we will do it. Whether we have arms or legs or not, we will do it because we believe. Now that's what it means to believe. And the Jews says, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, believe. If you believe, you're going to do it. Believe results in work. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Now again, this is a very interesting passage as we talk about believing. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. If you're reading from the King James Version, yours is going to read a little bit differently, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But the point that we get here from the Word of God is that if we believe we are saved and have eternal life, the New American Standard says, if we do not obey, then we do not have life and we're lost forever. Unless we repent of our sins and correct our lives. Now, if you are reading from the King James, yours reads a little bit differently. Yours says, one who does not believe rather than one who does not obey. Well, what is the difference here? I'll tell you right now, there is no difference between the Greek text. The Greek word is the same, apatheo. But apatheo has two components to it. And the translators, as they were struggling with this, how to translate this, had a decision to make. There are two components to this word. One component is to be persuaded, believe, and to comply, obey. So one who does not believe will not obey, and therefore he is lost. Now what's very interesting about this is it brings out the fact that one who believes obeys. One who believes obeys. Now, I tried again to find an illustration of this. And it's very difficult to find secular illustrations of this, and I had to dig down very far to find one. There was a young boy whose friend told him, don't go near that dog or that dog is going to bite you. And the boy just sort of shrugged it off, didn't take it very seriously. And something happened, the ball goes down there where the dog was, and the boy goes down there and was going to get that ball. And the boy starts down there and that guy right there said, if you go down there, that dog's going to bite you. Well, me, sure, he's not going to bite me. And so the boy goes down there, the dog bites the boy. What was the problem? The boy didn't believe his friend. If you go down there, that dog's going to bite you. You're going to get bit. And the boy didn't believe that. How do we know he didn't believe that? Because he went on down there where that dog was and got bit. We know that. Now, I know that's a true story. I know what that boy was thinking because that boy's me. I'm the one who didn't believe my friend that said, you go down there, you're going to get bit. Well, I went on down there and I got bit. Let me tell you what. That's the last time I didn't believe him about that dog. To believe someone is to do what they say. To believe Jesus Christ is to do what He says. Now, the question for this morning is, why was the jailer baptized in the middle of the night? 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time it was, but I know it was after midnight. Why was he baptized in the middle of the night? Now, we need to go a little bit further. Turn your Bibles back over to Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Next, we need to ask ourselves the question, what did Paul do and what did the jailer do? As we look at what happened here. Beginning in verse 31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. What did the Apostle Paul need to do before the jailer could be baptized? The Apostle Paul had to speak the word. Now, why is that? The Apostle Paul had to speak the word. It's because the jailer needed to hear the word. Without Paul speaking and without the jailer listening, understanding, the jailer, number one, would not know what to believe. And number two, believing, he'd have no idea what to do. So it's absolutely necessary that Paul speak the word, the jailer hear the word, so that the jailer could obey the word. Now remember a few scriptures you're familiar with. One is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. So the Word of God is the power to salvation. And that's just not to be saved right when we're baptized into Christ, and that's it. But I want to remind all of us this morning, this Word of God right here is the answer to all of our problems. Because in it is the power of God. Paul says the Word of God performs its work in those who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. It does not matter what our problems are. It does not matter what it is we need to figure out what to do. This is the answer. Small little books got all the answers to all of our problems. The only ones that aren't answered are the ones we don't need the answer to. I'll give you an example of that. Sometimes someone will ask me, for example, what is the name of Lot's wife? Well, we don't know that. It is not answered in the Bible. We're never going to know that, but we don't need to know that. If we need to know something for whatever we need, this is the answer right here, the Word of God, that is the power of God to salvation. So what had to happen that night? As Paul had met the jailer and there was the earthquake and the cells opened up and the jailer was going to kill himself, commit suicide. Because remember, under Roman law, if Paul or any of the people there, if they escaped, that man was put to death. No questions asked. No questions asked. And Paul said, don't do that. We're all here. He calls for a light to be brought in. Now, for this man to be saved, he had to hear what? The Word of God, because he had a problem. He had a problem. He was lost in sin. And he needed to be saved. And there was only one way he could find the answer to his problem, and that was the Word of God. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So he had to hear. Paul needed to speak the Word, and he did. To believe in Jesus Christ is to continue in His Word. To believe in Jesus Christ is to continue in His Word. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 8. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, this is what you need to do. You need to believe. That's what you need to do. To believe in Jesus Christ is to continue in His Word. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we will continue in His Word. This all begins with believing in Jesus Christ, continuing in His Word, being a disciple, knowing the truth, and that truth will set us free. To continue in Jesus' Word is to obey Him. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here the Apostle Paul again talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. You remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, and it will be with the trumpet, and it will be when all of the saved meet Jesus Christ in the air, and they're going to be with Him forevermore. And now he's also going to tell now the bad part of that. Because in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Now, this is the opposite of that. Jesus, yes, is going to come, and it's going to be with the great trump, and the dead will rise, and they will meet Jesus in the air, and they will be with Him forever in heaven. But He's also bringing angels coming in flaming fire to bring retribution. Now look to see what the Bible says here. Verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God. Now, if we had time this morning, we'd go over to 1 John chapter 2 to find out what to know God means. It means to keep His commandments, 1 John chapter 2. To know God is to keep His commandments. But notice what else he says here in verse 8. Bringing retribution upon those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. To continue in the Word of Jesus Christ. To believe Him and continue in His Word, to know the truth will set us free, is to obey Jesus Christ. Those who do not obey will be punished for eternity. Those who do not believe will be punished for eternity. Why? Those who do not believe will not obey. When we abide in the Word of God, three things. We are His disciples. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And here is the Great Commission, as you are very familiar with it. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples." Now Jesus is going to tell them how to make disciples. Disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. When we abide in the Word of Jesus Christ, we are His disciples. The jailer believed in Jesus Christ. He was baptized immediately. He was baptized in the middle of the night, and he became a disciple of Jesus Christ that very moment. We become a disciple. We also know the truth. We've all already read John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. One who is not a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who does not believe Jesus, has obeyed Him, His disciple, knows the truth. One who has not done that lives in slavery. No one likes to be in slavery. One who has not obeyed Jesus Christ lives in slavery. I want you to notice how one is set free from sin, set free from slavery, Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What is this newness of life? Having been baptized into Jesus Christ and into His death, verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified upon the cross, put to death. When? When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, His death becomes our death. That old man of sin is put to death. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. One who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and obeys Him is His disciple. He knows the truth. The truth sets him free. He's released from the bondage of sin to live as a child of God, serving Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles back over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And beginning in verse 33. Here the Apostle Paul spoke the word to the jailer and his household. Verse 33, and he took them, that's the jailer, that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. Why was it so important that he be baptized in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning perhaps? Why was this so important? Some scriptures very quickly as my time is running out to remind you of. Mark chapter 16:16, Jesus says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." The jailer realized that night that he needed to believe and obey Jesus Christ or he was lost. The jailer realized that if he died that night without obeying Jesus Christ, he was lost. The jailer realized that if something happened that night, the next morning, before he obeyed Jesus Christ, that he would be lost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, as he is giving his sermon as recorded here on the day of Pentecost, the very first day of the church, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." The jailer realized that he needed his sins forgiven. The jailer realized that he was a sinner and that he was lost and his sins needed to be forgiven. And as Peter preaches here to repent and be baptized for the remission of those sins, the jailer wanted to get rid of those sins so that he was saved, a disciple of Jesus Christ. As the Lord through Ananias tells the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, and I'm sorry I don't have that slide up. There it is. I just have the wrong scripture noted on the bottom. This is what the Lord tells the Apostle Paul through Ananias. "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." The jailer realized that he was a sinner. He needed to wash those sins away. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So he was baptized in the middle of the night. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death?" The jailer knew that he had to be baptized into Jesus Christ to have that relationship with Him. Paul tells us in that chapter to be united with Him. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." The jailer realized that he was dead in sin, that he needed to be raised up with Jesus Christ. And so he was baptized in the middle of the night. He did not want to put it off one more minute to be raised up with Jesus Christ. His sins to be washed away, sins to be forgiven, to be saved and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, corresponding to that, "Baptism now saves you." How so? How does baptism now save you? Is it the removal of the filth of the flesh? Peter says that it is not. What does he say in this Scripture? But it is an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we make our appeal to God for salvation, to have a good conscience, having believed and obeyed our Savior Jesus Christ? We do so by obeying Jesus to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Why was the jailer baptized in the middle of the night? Why was it so important for him in the middle of the night to worry about stumbling along in the dark, to worry about having to get something to light the way, to worry about finding a place to be baptized and all of these types of things? Why was it so important in the middle of the night when it was pitch black and with all of the difficulties? Why couldn't he wait just a few hours until the sun came up and made it so much easier? Because he believed. Because he believed. And when we believe, we do not put off for one moment obeying God. And that's applicable for all of us here. It was applicable for Abraham when he was given the command by God, as we studied in our Bible class this morning, to take your son and go to Moriah Mountain that I'm going to show you, and you sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. You just light him up right there. He got up early the next morning, didn't put it off, doing what the Lord said. For us as Christians, we believe. So when do we obey the Lord? We obey Him right now. If you're not a Christian and you believe, when do you obey the Lord? You do it right now. That's why the jailer was baptized in the middle of the night. Did not even wait a few more hours till the sun came up so that they could see where they were going without stumbling, going off wherever they had to go to be baptized. That's why it was so important not even to wait another hour or another 2 hours or just for the sun to come up. Because when you believe, you obey immediately, right then. No waiting, no hesitating. If you're a Christian this morning, I want you to remember that. And I want you to think of your life, and I want you to think of the things which you're doing. And maybe there's something you've put off to truly believe and have your confidence in the Lord. You won't put it off any longer. If you're not a Christian, having heard the Word of God today, if you believe, you won't put off for another moment to become a child of God. Just as the jailer did. He believed. The Bible tells us to repent of our sins, simply to turn away from the wrong, to do the right. Just to make that commitment today. Not going to do the wrong anymore, but I'm going to do the right. To confess your faith, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ today. This afternoon, so that you too have your sins washed away, forgiven of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you become a disciple. You know the truth sets you free from the bondage of sin. If you're subject to the gospel invitation anyway, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?